News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, the family of a young man who fatally stabbed his 9-year-old brother before taking his own life have settled a high court action against the HSE. People would have seen this news as it developed yesterday afternoon. Shane and Carmel Skeffington had sued the HSE over an alleged failure to take care of their son, Shane Jr., when he was a patient at a mental health facility in Sligo in May 2014. I'm delighted to say that Carmel Skeffington joins me now. Carmel, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak to us. If we set aside what happened when you came home from grocery shopping that day, because that would have been the focus, I think, of a lot of people reading the story yesterday. But just let's set that aside. For a lot of our listeners, they don't know you and they don't know your family. Tell us about Shane and Brandon. What tell us about them as people?
They were wonderful. They were loving, caring. They got on really well. Shane Michael took care of Brandon. He always looked out for him. And Brandon looked up to Shane. He was his big brother and he liked nothing better than going for a spin in the car or being brought out for the day with him. They just got on really well. They were loving and caring and, you know, they're really sadly missed.
And for Shane, Carmel, when did his own personal problems or issues arise? Like, when was it that you became aware of them? At what age?
Basically, it wasn't all that long before they died. I think really in May we realised something was seriously wrong because he assaulted his father. And I mean, for Shane Michael to do something like that, it was, you know, we knew something was really wrong because that just wasn't him. You know, he was so good-natured and loving and caring. And when he did that, we knew that something's wrong and we had to get help from. So we had him admitted then to St. Columbus's down in Sligo. And we hoped he'd get the help he needed down there. He was there for 6 days.
And when he went into St. Columbus, how was he in himself? You know, was he distressed or withdrawn? Like, how was he compared to how he usually was?
He was, I don't know how, he was different. Do you know, he was, I can't really explain how he was. He was jumpy and maybe a bit agitated or, you know, he just wasn't himself at all. And we didn't see him then for 6 days.
And when you did see him 6 days later, was he discharged then?
He was, yeah. Now, we were delighted to get the phone call to come down and visit him. Because not seeing him for 6 days, sure, we never didn't see him. We seen him every day, you know. And we went down and we thought we were just going for a visit. But then he was let come home with us, which was surprising. Of course, we were delighted to get him home. But we didn't realise that, you know, he wasn't fit to come home. We didn't know anything about it. And it was just, you know, we just didn't know what was going on, really. But we thought that he'd been there and that he was being let home. So we thought when he was being let home that he was better.
Were you given a diagnosis of anything when he was discharged? Was he told to come back or to see another medical professional, psychiatrist or anyone else? Like, what were you told?
We were told he had a psychotic episode. He was just discharged with a week's supply of tablets, if I'm remembering correctly there. We knew there was no way he was going to take the tablets, which I pointed out to the doctor because he had been refusing to take medication down there. So he was being restrained and injected medication. And he was to be seen by doctors and he was never, once he was discharged, or once he was let home that day with us, he seen no doctor after that.
You mentioned there it was hard to describe how he was the day he went into St. Columbus. How was he driving home?
Driving home, he was hungry because he was refusing to eat down there. I had brought something down for him and he took it. He was happy to be out. He gave me a kiss. He told me he'd missed my birthday because when he was in there, it had been my birthday. He was happy to get home. He just, that evening when he got home, he watched telly with Brandon and Callum. the little brothers. You know, he was just happy to be at home. And like, we were happy too. He was at home.
And Brandon and Callum, I assume, delighted to have their big brother home.
Delighted. They were up in his room that night watching Avatar. Do you know? They were absolutely delighted to have him home.
Now, Carmen, I don't want to go through the day or what she came home to that day at all. People will know what happened that have read about it at this stage, that have seen the news yesterday or read it in the papers today. So there's no need to go into detail. But can I ask you this question? If I met you that day when you went out shopping with Shane Sr., and say if I was a close friend, I knew ye and I knew what Shane had been through, and if I had asked you when I saw you in the supermarket, I said, "Oh, Carmel, how is Shane? How's he getting on?" What would you have said?
He was quiet. I mean, he was spending a lot of time in his room. He was quiet and he came shopping with me. You know, he did different things around the house. Himself and his dad went fishing. Himself and his dad did work on his car. You know, but he was quiet. He was at home a lot more than he had previously been. You know, he seemed to want to be around us more, I think. And, you know, we were happy he was at home.
So just a little different, a bit off, maybe a bit quieter, wanted to be around you more. It doesn't sound like there was any alarm bells going off.
No, God, no. I mean, you could never have imagined that Michael would have done what he did. So that wasn't Jim Michael, and I know he wasn't responsible for it. Do you know, whatever happened that day, he was not in control. He wasn't himself.
What impact has that day had on you and Shane Sr. and the family?
We're devastated. It's been an absolute nightmare. Do you know, it's just life without them is so hard and it doesn't get better, you know. You learn how to cope maybe a bit better, but being without them, they're always missing. They're not there, and it's hard knowing that we're never going to see them again.
Maybe this kind of sounds a little like a silly question, even as I ask it, Carmel, but, you know, how long can you even go an hour without thinking of them? Are they ever out of your mind?
No, first thing in the morning, the minute you wake up, they're there. You know, you think about them, walk down the stairs, you look at pictures of them, you know, they're just everywhere in our thoughts the whole time. So in all of us, like, we're just totally devastated, broken without them.
And I know I said people, Carmel, reading the details of this case, you know, they'll be aware of them now, that those details will stand out about what happened that day. But just for people who are listening to this, what do you want them to remember about Shane and Brandon? What do you want Shane and Brandon's legacy to be?
I want them to be remembered as the loving and caring boys they were. And I hope that maybe some way that somebody, you know, can get help from hearing me talking about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And I just, you know, hope if anyone out there needs help that they get it and they get proper help.
All right. Look, on that note, Carmel Skeffington, thank you so much, for coming in to speak to us today, to you and to Shane Sr.